Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend.
I need a universal translator for this show now.
Which one of those phrases didn't you understand, Kevin?
Let's start with all of them.
Look, I stayed away from his two primary languages, which I apologize, slang and pig Latin. So I'm sorry.
Slang I'm good at. Pig Latin never really was that good at that.
Ixnay.
Yeah, that's about the only one I could ever do.
The show is being brought to you by our good friends, by the way, at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Oh, and are they ever winners there? It is the weekend, time to stock up. Buhner's already got his eyes on the pickle bar for the weekend.
I do, the garlic pickles.
Kevin. Yes, Kevin has his eyes on being pickled. Meanwhile, hot, fresh roasted peanuts. Kev, they're good, aren't they?
Love those. Hey, I wanted to ask, Buhner, do you have those for the game? You're going to go up and cover Montoursville Danville for us tonight. Do you have pickles for the game?
I do have pickles for the game, and I'm taking some non-alcoholic beverages to stow me away.
That's a good idea for a high school game.
Good idea, yeah. And Brewers Outlet has all those beverages, the snacks and everything. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The 14s run the lots, but find out why they have so many repeat customers. They really, really know how to treat customers right. They understand your financial circumstances, your home circumstances, and everything that goes with it. And they try to make sure that they match up something that fits your budget and your lifestyle. That's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Words 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now to bring in Matt Millen. He'll call the game tomorrow with Joe Tessitore, and the sideline reporter will be Maria Taylor. And Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I'm good to be here. I'm watching the game. There's not a better place I'd rather be.
I understand that. You go through, you have to get ready for a game like this. So right away, quick thumbnail impressions of Penn State and the thumbnail impressions of Michigan.
Well, for Penn State, offensively, they're developing. They're still a work in progress because you have to understand this offense is completely quarterback centric. And so you're at the mercy of how fast kid can pick it up, and it's not commensurate with his skills, because he has an excellent skill set, and his mechanics are very good, and I see exactly what Bill O'Brien sees in him. What you're at the mercy of is how fast he can compute on the and synthesize all the information in a split second on game day, and that takes time, and so You're going to have to wait for that to happen. And so a guy like Allen Robinson has to wait for that to happen. There are times where there's plays to be made, and he's just not there yet. And so it'll take some time. He could use some compliments, but they have what they have, and they're playing within the framework of what they have. And defensively, they have some holes, but every team has holes. Yeah. And so they're trying to work within the framework of that and take – what you have and try to formulate the game plan. So going into this week, what I would think, just looking at Michigan and looking at Penn State, you would say keep Gardner inside the pocket, make him throw the football. They're going to try to pound the football on. You're going to have to load the box and take a couple chances in a run game because you got to take that away first and make them one-dimensional.
I know that one of the things that Jack Hamm and I do is we go through and broadcast a game, and you see young players is one of the things that we've always felt they need to do is they have to start believing what they see. You played at such a high level your entire career, whether it was college or in the pros. Talk about that element about seeing it, believing it, and then making the play instead of waiting that split second and how much that can hurt you.
Yeah, that's the whole game. You know, when you're evaluating players or you're evaluating even schemes, you wanted to see how fast it's recognized and then what's done about it. Because this is what I learned a long time ago. It was a great lesson for me to learn. I was with the Raiders, and we had an outside linebacker, this kid from Cal, who was very, very bright, and he was a physical freak of an athlete. I mean, he just had it all. And he was our backup, and we played him on special teams. And then, you know, Rod Martin, our starting outside backer, he got hurt, and this guy comes in. And so I'm like, I'm completely comfortable with him. But, guy, you know, the word on him was he didn't know what he was doing. And so, but I knew when we, you know, you're in the classroom, you're asking questions, and you're filling out tests, and you're, you know, whatever. He, every answer right away, knew exactly what it was. Then we got in the game, and there's, you know, 80,000 people in the stands, and the clock's there, and they make an adjustment, and you're going to make a decision in a split second, and that's where it didn't jump the synapse. And that hit me. It's not what you know. It's what you know under pressure. That's the key. And that separates a lot of people. A lot of people. And so the guys who can make the right choice under all the pressure, whether real or perceived, those are the guys that usually excel. And so this kid, you know, looking at Hackenberg, it looks like he can do that. It's just right now there's a mountain of information to choose from, and he's not yet been accustomed to having run the offense, being familiar with the offense, hasn't had an off season, hasn't had anything. So he'll get through it, and I can already see. I watched every game. I watched every single offensive play. You can see a difference from the first snap he took at Syracuse to last week. He's getting better. He's progressing.
Yeah, because the bottom line is when you're 18 years old, you've played five games, you can't just open up page 24 of the playbook and say, we're going to run that. He has to be able, you know, you have to really pare it down to exactly what he's comfortable with at that particular moment. And I think there has to be, I mean, you and I both know there has to be an understanding of that. He, you know, you can only do what the box says you're capable of doing at that moment.
Well, trust me on this one. Bill has paired this offense way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it right now. But, you know, the bottom line is still this. You know, like I said, this is a quarterback-driven offense. So you're at the mercy of where that guy is. And if your name's Tom Brady, man, open every book you got, man. He'll,
sure.
That's fine. But if you're, and even to a degree, you know, the great strength of Matt McGloin a year ago was he thought he was Tom Brady.
Right.
And there's something to that. And that's great. I mean, and it's one of the reasons why he made the team in Oakland.
Yeah.
And this Hackenberg kid, you know, he's a young buck. He's just figuring it all out. But he's going to get there because you can see already he's synthesizing the proper stuff. He has the requisite tools. He'll be where he needs to be.
Whether you're putting together a pro team or a college team, though, Matt, I've always felt that it really is a big plus early in any program to identify and find what you perceive to be your franchise quarterback. And Bill, I think, has that.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, you can see that now. You know, that's where we're standing right now. There's, you know, there's going to be a lot of water that flows under the bridge between now and the time he leaves here. So, and, you know, and so you want him to be able to, he'll continue to grow, he'll continue to understand things, he'll continue to make great decisions. He'll do all that stuff. You just don't want to, you know, pin him down with an injury or whatever. But, you know, you take it with how you take it.
Well, I don't care whether we were in college or now. You've always been honest and direct every time I talk to you about everything. So when you work a pro game, which you've done so many times in the past, and then working a college game, do you have any change in approach versus a pro game to a college game?
Oh, yeah, a lot. First of all, I'm not as familiar just by virtue of the fact that in the NFL I have 32 teams to know, and I know them intimately. I know players, I know their tendencies, I've studied them, I know what they are. I know schematically what they're going to do. I know what his strengths and weaknesses are. And you come to college football, and there's 130 of them or whatever it is. I forget the number. You can't know them all. And then on top of that, you have, you know, I don't see the same teams all the time. So I might, if I'm lucky, I might see two teams the same season. And so then you have a little bit more familiarity about what you just saw. So I study. I mean, that's all I do is sit in the room and study for 3 days of tape for, you know, I got here yesterday morning at 8, and I got out of here last night about 7:30. I'll do the same thing. I get in this morning early. I'll leave again tonight. And so, and a little bit on Saturday, until I'll know them, but I won't have the knowledge that you would because you're with them every day.
Right.
Although I'll be able to break them down a little differently because I'm looking at them schematically and I'm looking at what they're asking and I can see the weaknesses and what they're trying to hide and their strengths and who they're trying to accentuate. But college football is tough because there's a lot of bodies out there.
Yeah, a lot of bodies. The other part, too, and one final one, then I'll let you go because I know you still have a lot of work to do, Matt. But for you to come back and just be back here on the campus, even though it's a quick hit on a Thursday, a Friday, and into a Saturday, what's that like for you getting back here?
You know, it's different. It's different for me because this isn't the place that I graduated from. This is a whole new place.
You and I graduated the same year, so together. So,
yeah. So I mean, think about it. And we used to walk to practice. We used to walk to Beaver Stadium, and it was 58,000 people. And you know, it was a open horseshoe, and it was had a track around it, and you walked in between where the Bryce Jordan Center was. That was just an open field, and so you know. This practice facility, none of this existed. We had one turf field and two grass fields, and Joe kicked me out of there with regularity. So it was a little different. I went up on campus. I couldn't believe some of the buildings that are there where the old IM fields are. That's gone.
Yep, that's gone.
There's all kinds of stuff in there. So I'm like, I'm glad I graduated when I did. Holy smokes.
And how about the wind shift when the chicken coops were there instead of Nittany Apartments?
Yeah, well, see, those things, those were the old barracks.
That's right.
Our first, my Fran Ganner was in here earlier, and we were laughing. My freshman year, we practiced, talk about this 20-hour rule, it's embarrassing. We practiced 3 times a day for 13 days. In between the morning session and the afternoon session, we didn't even shower. We just took our pads off. We had a nice little box lunch, Fran reminded me. We had a little box lunch. We went full pads 3 times a day for 13 days.
Yeah.
And needless to say, that was the last time Joe ever did that. But that was brutal, man. But it is what it is, you know. That's what you do.
Matt, it's always a pleasure. It's great to have you back, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care of yourself.
Matt Millen. Analyzing and the two of us reminiscing. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Hubbell's Wharf. We return to the Chateau, talk to Buter, and then get Kevin's perspective on every single seating in high school football across the state as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
It's almost Halloween, but Sunbury Motors won't pull any tricks. They'll just give you a big treat. Sunbury Motors has over 400 new Fords clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year. Hunting season is upon us, and get ready with a new Ford truck. Pick from over 100 new Ford F-150 trucks with 4x4 super cabs starting at $27,989 and regular cabs from just $19,979. Sunbury Motors has 53 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to as low as $20,989.
$20.
SFC is the area's only electrification dealer.
Save up to $10,000 on C-Max and Fusion Energy vehicles that get up to an equivalent of 100 mpgs.
Payments on these vehicles start under $300 a month with no money down.
There's also 0% financing available on most new Fords.
Don't be spooked by other dealers.
Come into Sunbury Motors during this huge fall sales event.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza
and at sunburymotors.com.
Proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
You know, you do stuff like that, and yeah. I see so many people in the building like get really like scared and like try to leave. You want to know why?
Why?
They fear drug testing.
You said you were reminiscing with Matt Millen, so that popped into my head.
That's great. It was the last question. What about all the football questions?
Sometimes it's the last thing that resonates the best.
Bob's the only thing he remembers, isn't it?
He was actually working on his opening line for the pregame show, I think. He's trying to make it sound spontaneous at 6:30, but he's been working.
By the way, congratulations to Robbie Gould, who tied an NFL record last night. He made his 12th consecutive field goal of 50 yards or better, tying the record of Blair Walsh. But the difference is Blair Walsh does half of his kicking indoors in perfect conditions. Robbie Gould does it in some of the fiercest conditions you can ask for in the National Football League. 12 consecutive field goals of 50 yards or better. He did that last night where he tied the record against the New York Giants.
And he, 949 career points. I'm doing this off the top of my head. Second on the Bears' all-time scoring list. He is 160 points behind Kevin Butler, who was a kicker for about 15 years for the Bears, including their Super Bowl season in 85. So he's slowly and consistently moving up the ladder, and he is perfect on the year for field goals. I think he's 12 for 12 now.
Yeah, he's perfect on the year. He has not missed yet this year, but to make 12 consecutive 50-plus yard field goals, and this is not exactly nirvana to kick in. Swirling winds, snow, rain, everything, and it doesn't matter. He just takes and rams that thing home.
And, you know, he has missed a grand total of 2 extra points in 9 seasons for the Bears, both in Pittsburgh, one in a blinding snowstorm where he could not see the goalpost, and this year he had one blocked. And that's it. He's been perfect in every NFL city, including his own, but for Pittsburgh, in his 9-year career. And he's got a few more years left in him, I'm sure.
Yeah, amazing. Kevin's got Shikellamy tonight. He's been in the bathroom all day practicing his touchdown call.
No, I have not.
Really? So you don't think they're going to score tonight?
No. Nice. Nice. This comes from a man who has 2 one-syllable words to say after touchdown.
I just say what comes to my mind.
I'm just saying. You got it easy, man.
And you're acting like saying Shikellamy is really complicated?
It's a lot of syllables to get in there in one breath.
You want to know what this job is? They point you toward the field you talk. After that, the job, you know, that's the job.
I mean, that's 6 syllables to get in one breath, and you have to hold it for at least 5 seconds.
Bob, can you believe we're listening to this?
It is not actually in the broadcaster's handbook, but it is it does illuminate one to Kevin's unique way of thinking.
Illuminate. That's a great way to put it.
We've got hockey.
Some days the bulb's off.
Yep. We've got hockey, baseball. We've got football at all levels this weekend. It's just a great time to be alive in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, it beats like the anticipation of having something happen and actually being there when it happens.
Oh, yes. I thought he was going to go back to August. I was just going to cut his mic right then.
Steve, a quick question for you about last night's little get-together at Damon's. Bill O'Brien is going to be coaching in his first Beaver Stadium sellout. How excited?
The second one. Ohio State was sold out last year.
Was it?
Ohio State was sold out last year, yeah.
I think, then I stand corrected. I think he and the players must be anticipating a great crowd and a great crowd impact on the game.
Well, they went over to Nittanyville the other night. They brought pizzas over, spent some time. Bill had a little bit of fun. He did a little slam dunk contest. Told me, looks at me last night, says, Jones, I got a 40-inch vertical. And I saw the tape today. It looked more like John Havlicek. So it's well, exactly. That was. He's a long way from Dr. J. So yeah, they're excited about it, but they want to play well. And I'm going to talk about some of the factors in playing well in the next half hour. I think it's going to be very important. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Sometimes to some of those shikalimi calls, I think Kevin went there first.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Merci beaucoup.
Bonjour.
Comment allez-vous, Bob?
Ah, je ne parle pas français.
What is this, hockey night in Canada?
Yes.
It's hockey night here, baby. It's Hockey Valley time.
And what time is the big face-off?
8 o'clock tonight.
Sold out crowd?
Sold out, 6,000. BTN tonight. I talked to Steve Johnson, the producer, for a couple of minutes in the truck, and he goes, Steve, what time are you coming back? I said, 6 o'clock. He goes, and he says, we'll probably have it all straight by then. That's fine, Steve. I said, I really don't care. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I forgot. Kevin hates when I do that.
Yes.
It's okay. But we're talking about the Sabres. You know, Terry was telling me that he's got two defensemen, Terry Pegula, who owns the team. Got two defensemen that they drafted. He thinks they're right there. He says, you know, now the good size can skate, whole deal. He says, they thinks it's a foundation of what they want to do. They poured some extra money into the building there. Sidney Crosby said to him, he says, your ice is the best in the league. That's the kind of ice they wanted to put into Pegula, into the ice arena here. Quick, lightning fast ice. Not, you know, where, you know, you take a few strides, barely kicks up any shavings, and you glide. As opposed to, like, you know, let's face it, some ice is... Console Energy, for example, has trouble with its ice.
It's like slush.
In terms of getting it fast, and it slows the game down. Buffalo, they worked hard on that. They put a lot of time into the ice in this building to make it lightning fast ice. And it's going to make the game even more enjoyable the way they're doing it. So, I mean, it's tonight. They got Army tonight. Ron Krieger was the coach of Army. His dad was the head coach of the team in Squaw Valley when they won the Olympics in 1960. I said, so your dad's the one that ended up cutting Herb Brooks.
Question for you. The average hockey fan in the central Susquehanna Valley who doesn't get a chance to see many Flyers games or Penguins games in person, maybe a Hershey Bear, but are tickets available for Penn State hockey?
A single game basis, yes, but they really have done a great job selling tickets.
That's what it sounds like.
There's only 6,000 seats, Bob. I mean, that's the big difference. But see, the arena is the right size for what they want to do. Medler Field at Lebrano Park is the right size for what they want to do, especially when it comes to the summer with the spikes. Those are the right size. Moving forward, and the Jordan Center's always been too big for sports. But what the Jordan Center is not too big when it comes to events. And here's the reason why. Axe want to go into a place and they have a price range in mind. And if it's a smaller arena, they then charge higher prices because they have that range in mind in terms of the margin for the entertainer or the act. Well, you know, but Penn State with 15,000 plus seats in the Jordan Center, they actually, there's some actually say, really? I mean, I feel like I'm paying a lot of money. You could be paying a lot more if the arena was smaller because of the margin that the acts want to have out of the building. So in that vein, it's not too big. But when it comes to basketball, we know it is too big. We've all thought that from day one. Penn State for basketball probably should be a 10,000 to 11,000 seat building. So that's so for the sport itself, it's too big. For the entertainment part, especially particular acts, it's the right size that they need in terms of a solid ticket price. Beaver Stadium moving forward, the question is it too big? And I've talked about this before, and I was talking to Terry Pegula about this today, that I would share back the stadium except for the student section. I would make sure those 21,000 student seats ended up being bleacher seats, just like they are in Pegula. Because, I mean, that's what triggered the conversation. There are 5,000 chairback seats in Pegula, 1,000 that are bleacher seats. That's the student section. And I said, I really feel at Beaver Stadium down the road. You know, look, I said, if I had unlimited money and so forth, I said, and Penn State doesn't. But I said, but that's what I would do. And chair back it where you feel like when, you know, you're for your money, you're getting a seat. But I'd keep the student section all bleachered. They stand up anyway.
Yeah.
So why not? So the facility for Pegula, you mentioned the 6,000 seats. It is the perfect size for ice hockey in central Pennsylvania. It's exactly the size arena you should have for college hockey. It's not too small. It's not too big. It's just right. And you name, the you know, everything you could ask about this building, it has. Smart, well done. It is the premier place to play. I know they would like to obviously at some point get the Big Ten hockey tournament moved to Consol Energy. Moving that, it'll never be a Penn State because the building is 6,000 seats. But you know, but right now it's going to alternate between St. Paul where the Wild play, the XL Center, and Joe Louis Arena where the Wings play. They're going to alternate 4 years between those two sites. So there you go.
Yeah, there it is. A huge event, a new era in Happy Valley. But
yeah.
There's a big game tomorrow, too. I guess you'll be on somewhere near the stadium tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm planning on showing. And this is what I think going into tomorrow. And it's Penn State needs to make its own luck. And you have to make your own luck in certain ways. And I also think the matchup. Now, even though Michigan, there's no question Michigan has more talent across the board than Indiana. That is not in dispute. But actually, the style matchup is better for Penn State. I think Penn State at this stage of its development, basketball on grass field, basketball on grass teams, are a little bit difficult for them to handle at this particular point. With experience, that's going to change. But this team brings a more traditional attack with the exception of Gardner's movement, which, of course, is a big exception, but he moves really well. But stylistically, this is a better team for Penn State to match up with. And you have to make your own luck. You have to change around the giveaway, takeaway part of it. They're minus three right now. And they've only scored 9 points off of the takeaway so far. Really good teams end the year in a plus 8 to plus 12, usually end the year between 80 and 100 points off of takeaways in a 12-game schedule. Right now they have 9 points off of takeaways, and they only have 6 of them so far. They also have to do a better job of a field position. Because constantly the offense is being told, drive the long field, drive the long field, drive the long field, which then brings up the other part. Penn State's only started 7 drives on the plus side of the 50 all year, and their average drive start is a minus 5 yards per possession on the season. So that's, you know, you go with a dozen possessions in a game, you're down 60 yards, you know, if the average plays out. So they have to do a better job, in my opinion, of going out and really being more aggressive, believing what they see. Just go ahead, there it is, got it, and go for it. When Ryan Kaiser made his interception against Kent State, that's exactly what he did. You know, he instinctively saw it, read it, broke on it, and got the football. And that's what I think we have to start seeing more of, especially at a team like Michigan, which actually had a 24-game turnover streak snapped when they played Minnesota. They had turned the ball over at least once in 24 consecutive games until the Minnesota game, where they had no turnovers and also no penalties, I might add. So those are some of the things that I look at tomorrow. I think the style is better for Penn State on the other side. Style matches up better, and matchups and styles are very important. And I also think that Penn State needs to dial it up in terms of just a more of a go-for-it mentality, where they're the aggressor and take their game to Michigan instead of maybe letting the game come to them.
We call that in wrestling dictating the style of the game, of the match.
Right, exactly.
You've
got to
get the opponent.
Can do that.
Yeah, you've got to get the opponent worrying about you coming at them as opposed to giving them a chance to tee off on you. So
right, and I think they go out and they play, you know, have some fun, and I think, you know, you just see it, believe it, and go for it. And that's what I talk with Matt Millen about. You know, and Kevin was focused on chicken coops. But that's what I asked Matt about, the importance as a player of believing what you see. And he said, that's the whole game. He says, when you can do that, everything dials in differently. And the other part, too, is a lot of people have not really talked about. I think there is a perception that Christian Hackenberg has every page of the playbook at his discretion, and that Bill O'Brien can dial up anything in his playbook anytime he wants. The reality is, with an 18-year-old quarterback that started 5 games, things are pared back. It's just the way it is, and it's pared back to his comfort level as to what he does. He is a brilliant young quarterback. He is the franchise quarterback every team in the country wants to have. But at the same time, there is still a building process with that quarterback. So page 25 of the playbook may not be open. Okay, there's probably, you know, 40 to 50 plays right there and that Christian's comfortable with and so forth, and you go from there. So, you know, people have said, well, Bill hasn't done as many things with certain things this year. There's reasons for that. You know, part of it, you know, the usage of tight ends has changed a little bit because Matt Lehman got hurt. You know, that you know, Brent Wilkerson got hurt. Now you got another freshman in Adam Brenneman you're trying to wean in there to go with two veterans in James and Carter. Expect more tight end usage coming up tomorrow as well by Penn State, at least being some things that you'll see that will, I think, free them up to make some plays.
They are great weapons. And, you know, last year,
they're mismatches.
Yes.
They're mismatches.
And Matt McGloin was able to really exploit that last year. Of course, he was quite a veteran quarterback.
May have been in a new system, but being a veteran quarterback, the speed of the game and what he could see and what he could read, you know, really helped him out. And Bill O'Brien could open up chunks of the playbook in part two because Matt was in that playbook from January on instead of being in the playbook from July 1st on. It's just a big difference. I mean, am I making excuses here? That's not making an excuse when you're giving people facts. I mean, I think it's important to give people facts because, you know, that way they can then decide for themselves. There's just certain things that are factual that have to be talked about and discussed that may give somebody a better perspective on what's going on. I mean, he can't go, here's 200 pages. Let's go to page 199. Hey, run that. Well, I don't really think he can run that right now. You know, so you got to give him what he can run at this particular point. And this is a really smart kid, but it's also an extremely complicated offense.
And I wonder what the role of Zwinak will be tomorrow.
Well, Zwinak is certainly, between Zwinak, Belton, and Lynch, I mean, you know, they're going to be important to helping to balance what's going on out there. It's like throwing the ball 55 times. You know, to be honest with you guys, you don't really see teams winning a lot of games throwing 55 times. You really don't. I mean, in the 40s, in the low 40s, yeah. But once it gets up to about the 50 range, where you're having to throw a lot, that means you're trying to get yourself back in the game, usually.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, the Houston quarterbacks and things like that, you know, the guys, you know, where it's all built around. Okay, that's a different – the basketball and grass teams, it's a little different animal. But when you have a team that has the kind of attack that Penn State does or the kind of attack that Michigan does, if they're throwing it over 50 times, that indicates that's a red flag.
They're playing right? from behind.
Yeah. You know, if Christian Hackenberg's throwing the ball between 30 and 45 times, yeah, that's about range. That's a reasonable winning range right there because it indicates they're also doing something running the football as well. So, I mean, that'll be important. But just like Fitz Toussaint, it's going to be absolutely critical tomorrow night to Devin Gardner's success. I mean, there's a lot of things Michigan's going to have to do as well. Gallon's a good wideout, really good player. Devin Funchess, well, there's a tight end that they play as an X. And he is going to be lined up usually in three different spots in the field, next in the line of scrimmage, in the slot, and sometimes out wide. And he creates mismatches on the field to the tune last week of 151 yards against Minnesota. Kevin, you okay?
I'm good.
Well, I wouldn't brag about it. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Hurst Shuffle on a Friday night. Today's show brought to you by our good friends Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Ooh, he hit the post. I'm impressed. And I thought you were just a play-by-play guy. Did you have a DJ time in your life?
Nope. Never did.
I'm impressed.
Kevin, 1 hour and 35 minutes away from starting the broadcast at Shikellamy Stadium tonight?
No, I got a live look at it in about 50 minutes.
But 6:30 on the air. Steve Jones on the air for the Big Ten Network at 8 o'clock tonight. Me.
Yeah, Dan Kelly's the lead tonight. So.
Me, I'll be at Montoursville to watch Danville and Montoursville play the Battle of Two Unbeatens and be calling in to Sean with some game updates throughout the night, or at least for post-game.
Yeah, that'll definitely be on the Sunbury Motors scoreboard coming up tonight on Eagle 107, eagle107.com, after the Selins Grove Milton game.
Good. Looking forward to it. And that'll be a big night tonight, big weekend. By the way, the blue-white basketball scrimmage is tomorrow in the Jordan Center at 10. So if anybody's coming over here early tomorrow, it's free, open to the public. Want to get a good look at the hoopsters? And, you know, I mean, they still got time. I mean, it's still a month before the opener. I mean, the opener's, what, November 9th? Today's, what, October 11th? So it's still a month. But at least it's your first look in.
And Bucknell football tomorrow with Kevin.
Yeah, man, that's 1 o'clock tomorrow with Holy Cross, and this is a good game for them. I think it's a good matchup for them.
And Bloomsburg University, rated in the top 10 in Division II, has a homecoming game with Millersville. So it's just so
wonderful.
Much happening. So much happening.
No, I think that's terrific, Bloom's doing well, and I think that's great. And,
number one.
I mean, in all seriousness, we kid Kevin about how he feels about August and so forth, blah, 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 you know. But the bottom line is, I mean, this is a great month. October is a great month. High school football tonight. I know the weather's been a bit dicey. College football tomorrow, whether it's Bloomsburg, Bucknell, Penn State. You've got the NFL on Sunday. Now we're up to the championship series phase in baseball. Because you have, at this point, you've got the Dodgers taking on the Cardinals. The Red Sox and Tigers start tomorrow. You got the NHL's already underway. Penn State hockey drops the puck tonight. College basketball's in practice getting ready for the season. I mean, there's just a lot of things going on right now. The NBA's going to get rolling here pretty soon. Man, October's a great month. A lot going on.
Hey, guys, one quick thing I need to pass on before we wrap up for the day. Tri-Valley, Williams Valley has been postponed. That game will now be tomorrow night at 7. Shamokin at Mifflinburg, that game was postponed and will be tomorrow night at 7. Newport Upper Dauphin will be Monday night. Pine Grove Halifax also has been postponed until Monday at 5:30, an unusual start time there. So those are the only four games that we know that have been moved. And again, That's Tri-Valley, Williams Valley, Saturday at 7. Shamokin, Mifflinburg, Saturday at 7. Newport, Upper Dauphin to Monday. And Halifax hosting Pine Grove Monday at 5:30.
No guts, no glory.
You know, right. The good news is the government shut down, but sports is alive and well and flourishing.
Well, it was interesting because I had to talk with the Army coach. Okay, earlier in the week, and I asked him about do you know if you can play or not, because Canisius was the backup. They had talked to Niagara and Canisius about maybe being the fill-in tonight.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, Brian, what's the deal? He says, Steve, that decision's way above my pay grade. Well, they're here, and they're going to play tonight. Guys, have a great weekend. Look forward to it very much. Everybody stop in at Brewers Outlet. Stock up for the weekend.
This is State Representative Fred Keller. Congratulations, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, on 80 years of service to the Central Susquehanna Valley.